Hey, Holman, have you heard?
I'm sure I have, possibly.
Those are the sweet, sweet sounds of your man Lightning sitting co-pilot with Brad Lovell going over 100 miles per hour through the Southern California desert in a Bronco Desert Racer.
The Truck Show. We're going to show you what we know. We're going to answer what the truck, because truck rides with the truck show. We have the lifted, we have the lowered, and everything in between. We'll talk about trucks that run on diesel and the ones that run on gasoline.
The Truck Show. The Truck Show. The Truck Show. Whoa, whoa.
It's The Truck Show with your hosts, Lightning and Holman.
This episode of The Truck Show podcast, Have You Heard? Is proudly presented by Nissan with the Frontier, Titan, and Titan XD. Nissan has a truck for every need, along with the legendary Nissan durability. Test drive your next truck at a local Nissan dealer today, or point your browser to NissanUSA.com, where you can use the build and price tool to configure a Nissan truck that fits your lifestyle.
And when you're thinking about adding power or improving fuel economy, Banks has over 65 years of experience. Whether it's cold air intakes or exhaust systems, tuning, throttle control, charge air cooling, lubrication components, and much more, no one offers smarter, safer, 50-state emissions-compliant performance parts than Gale Banks. You'll find the best engineered parts for your truck at BanksPower.com.
And when you're looking for quality, full synthetic lubrication for your truck, AMSOIL has you covered with motor oil, lubricants and protectants, grease, additives, and more. AMSOIL synthetic lubricants deliver wear protection, engine cleanliness, and fuel efficiency that conventional oils simply can't match. Find out how AMSOIL synthetic lubricants can save you money and time by helping your vehicles run better and last longer than with conventional oils at AMSOIL.com. When it comes to lubrication, AMSOIL is the leader in synthetics.
All right, Holman, I know that you've done a lot of off-road racing. Me, not as much. I've done one lap in the Mint 400 in an old, like, 2008 straight axle Ram 2500.
That was the one that caused you to be 2 inches shorter.
Yes, it did compress my spine. Super, super fun. That was a great time. And so when our friends over at AMSOIL called and said, hey, are you guys free? Do you want to go out to Johnson Valley and do a couple test runs with our man Brad Lovell?
And we went, no, he's our man, Brad Lovell.
He kind of is our man.
And then Ford went, no, he's our man, Brad Lovell. Yeah.
So obviously, I said yes. Holman was Alf gallivanting around. Oh, you were in like Moab or somewhere, right? I drove out to Johnson Valley and put on my fire suit and borrowed a super sweaty helmet from another dude because my Parker pumper didn't fit on their thing. And so that was kind of gross, but everything else was freaking awesome.
Sounds super gross.
Everything else was awesome. And I hopped in a $400,000 Bronco that is like a trophy truck.
I saw one of those $400,000 Broncos in Moab.
Did you really?
Yeah, they put everything on it to keep it from breaking on the trail.
See what you did there?
I mad respect all the Bronco people. I couldn't help myself.
Yeah. I'm coming to you from the beautiful Southern California desert, specifically Johnson Valley. I'm about 75 miles, I think, southeast-ish of Los Angeles in an area called Johnson Valley. Johnson Valley is the home of King of the Hammers. It's also home to Brad Lovell's office. In the middle of nowhere of a dirt road sits a few RVs, a few sea containers, a corrugated steel building, two stories with a bunch of bay doors open, and Ford Broncos lined up. And there's Brad. I found the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Brad Lovell. So tell me about this facility. We are standing in a building in the middle of nowhere, and this is like, if you could have a convenient piece of property for off-road racing in the Southern California desert, this would be it.
Yeah, exactly. We're at a building out here that we use for testing out in the desert in Johnson Valley here. And Johnson Valley is really near and dear to the Bronco brand. It's where the base Bronco has been validated and gone through durability testing. So Badlands Wild Track has been validated out here on the rocks and washes and sand in Johnson Valley.
Are you validating parts that I can buy at a Ford dealer? Or are you trying to break them? Are you saying that they'll go 180,000 miles? Like, what is that quote-unquote validation that you're out here, you're beating on these Broncos so I won't break things, essentially?
Yeah, I guess that's it in a nutshell. You know, we're really trying to push the Broncos hard, and we're simulating a lifetime of off-roading for an enthusiast customer, you know, somebody who's really going to go out and push their Bronco hard. And, you know, we want to make sure that nothing's going to break, just like you're saying. So we take it pretty seriously, and they let me get away with running a pretty fast pace out there. And there could be so many things that are worse to do in a day than be out here running lap after lap in a Bronco.
Now, how many miles have you run so far this last 2 weeks?
Well, this last test, you know, we've been doing a variety of things, but, you know, we count them in thousands of miles out here, not hundreds of miles. So we pick up a lot of different information, some of it on different trucks, but definitely, you know, we're taking one truck and really running it through the durability cycle. And we're doing the same thing on the Bronco DR, the customer race vehicle that Ford has developed with Multimatic. So the test vehicle for that, we did a little over 2,000 miles out here in Johnson Valley. And the idea there is to simulate a Baja 1000 and make sure that you can get to the finish line without breaking anything.
So are you running data loggers and thermocouples and pressure sensors and the whole thing? Or are you just, like, how are you capturing this data?
Yeah, you know, with the Bronco DR, the ones that you can buy, they have a ton of data on them. Sometimes we're running more on the test vehicles based on need. You know, I think we've run thermocouples on the shocks, and those will come off if heat isn't a problem. So we haven't seen heat be a problem on the Bronco DR, but
are you counting things like how many times the shocks go up and down a stroke, like those type of things?
So yes, there is more intensive data collection that goes on that would count cycles of suspension, strain on different parts, stuff like that. So certainly Ford and other OEMs are wizards with that stuff.
This is not the stuff that happens in Detroit, where they've got basically a lab setting and they're stroking a shock a certain amount, number of times to see when it heats up and fails. You're going over rocks more the way that a consumer would.
So Ford can do a lot of work with simulation as well as other OEMs and the rest of the mechanical design industry. But there's always a desire to tie that back to real-world use, and that takes quite an investment, and Ford is there willing to make it with their enthusiast-level products. You know, Badlands Bronco, Wildtrak, the Raptor products, everything is validated out here in the desert to make sure that they're not missing anything in simulation and design back in Detroit.
Gotcha. So you are, you're checking chassis, you're checking steering joints, all that, right?
Well, you know, it's easy to pick off the low-hanging fruit and say, well, you're going to break a shock out here, right?
Or are you finding like the stereo components come apart, like a knob broke off, things like that?
It's everything between a stereo knob and breaking an axle shaft, let's say. But, you know, things are really refined in the design process. And a lot of times the stuff we find are boring things to you and me, like, oh, bolt lost torque or something on the back of the stereo. I don't know. But certainly we're watching as test drivers and calling out any sort of anomaly we see like that. You know, a new rattle, malfunction in the cluster, the information that you're getting inside the vehicle. We're calling out all that stuff.
Yeah, you just brought up, I didn't even think about, was it NVH? You're finding out after 2,000 miles of beating on a Bronco, you've got a strut or something that's starting to make noise, or something's making contact, the exhaust with the body, or something that you didn't expect with heat expansion and just work.
Sure. So it's all kinds of stuff like that. And it's a very refined process where a lot of inspections and stuff like that going on. And then, you know, we get out here with a race truck on a day like today, and we can be a little bit more free and footloose and go out there and pound some whoops and have some fun.
Take me through what you're testing out here today specifically. What are we going to be going in later?
Well, what we're doing today is running the Bronco DR, and that's you know, the consumer race car for Ford that's designed for the Baja 1000 for Baja races. So we're getting ready for an upcoming race. We've done our last validations on the truck, so it's a shakedown. It's getting seat time. It's getting all the communication working. putting a Starlink on it. We're going to have live streaming video during the race, which I'm pretty excited about. So we're adding a lot of different stuff there, and this is our last chance to get it all validated. Then we'll go back and prep the vehicle and head down to Mexico.
Got it. Since you started racing, how far advanced have these trucks become, just generally speaking, from the first Fords that you raced way back when you were a teenager to now? Like, how many miles an hour faster are you able to go over the same terrain?
Well, it's absolutely night and day where the technology has come in the last 10 or 15 years. I've been a Ford fanatic my whole life, and, you know, late 80s, early 90s is kind of when I got into it all. And you had to modify anything to go off-road. You know, Ranger, Bronco 2, we had full-size Broncos. We had all that stuff, and it took a bunch of modification. What I see now is the capability built into these vehicles right off the showroom floor, and then the validation on top of that. So you know you can go run that thing super hard, and you're not going to break it. That's what really amazes me. And it just blows my mind when we go down to Baja. And, you know, we're not getting our doors blown off by razors or other pre-runners. We're pre-running with them. And then you pull off on the pavement, put it in normal mode, and it feels just, you know, tight and nice and ready to go to work the next day.
How far have you seen the Bronco come? Like, go back to the early Broncos to today. Like, what a night and day difference.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we have a classic 68 Bronco that we race, and I love that thing. I love it. But the thing is,
squeak and rattle and...
Oh, yeah. It's got character. It's got a carburetor. It's got leaf springs in the back. It's rough. I love the style. I love the Challenger racing it. But, you know, the stuff that... that Ford's building today, that's, you know, just off the showroom floor, go out and go fast down one of these tracks out here in Johnson Valley and see what the suspension can do. It's amazing.
Okay. All right. So looking at the DR over here, by the way, it's just the stance is menacing. What is your favorite part of the DR? Or let me rephrase it. What's something on the DR that Ford baked into it that you're surprised, that you're like, whoa, they're going to do that? Really? Okay.
You know, I think Ford deserves a lot of credit for building an out-of-the-box, ready-to-race Baja 1000 Bronco. But what really surprises me about it, that they had the gumption to do, and that's put a 5-liter V8 in that thing. And it sounds great. It goes plenty fast. There's lots of low-end torque there to really control the chassis and bounce over whoops and play around with it in the turns. So that's combined to a 10-speed transmission, and there's a lot of power there, and, you know, a lot of speed, and the 10-speed transmission is great because you can always stay in the power band.
It's well balanced.
Yeah, so we've worked a lot on the balance through the development of the vehicle. So, yeah, you'll find when we're hitting whoops, you know, it flies flat, it doesn't kick. There's great control in it, so you can hit whoops in the turn, stay planted. It's very sporty.
I wish you guys could see the smile on his face. I'm not even sure. This is like, it's like a kid in a candy store. It's like he gets to live his dream every day. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love doing these test trips and being part of the development of Bronco and making it as best as it can be.
Tell me about this logo blasted on your chest right here. The giant AMSOIL, AMSOIL. So I got a call from our friend Holly, and she's like, hey, do you have any interest in going to ride out in the desert with Brad? And I said, what? Yes. Tell me about your relationship with AMSOIL, because my relationship through Banks is incredible. They're incredibly supportive. Anything we want to try, chemical compositions. We are on the phone with Mark. What's up, Mark? He's probably listening. One of the heads of engineering. If I have a question, the other companies, way back when we were developing our Ramier rear differential covers, we were trying to find out when 75W90 in certain formulations would oxidize, when it would burn. Like, what temperature do I need to get the rear diff fluid in our truck that we were testing to get it to decompose, get so hot that it starts losing its lubricity? No one would share. All the big companies that you, when you go to O'Reilly or Kragen, you walk in the door, you'd see all those names. None of those companies would share any data. I called AMSOIL and they said, oh, this is this temperature at which it'll break down. Here's what it does. They shared all the data. They were an open book. And I thought, this is amazing. So we partnered with them. Where I'm going with this is I'm wondering if it's the same way with you on the racing side. Tell me your perspective.
Well, certainly, you know, we have a deep appreciation for AMSOIL, and I do believe, like you're saying, they're a small enough, nimble enough company that they can make changes, they can make new formulations, they're willing to listen to find the best product for be it racing, industry, all kinds of different solutions. But really, there are two things that I value so much about AMSOIL that's so hard to find these days. And the first one is just dedication to quality. You know, they're not a marketing company looking to maximize profit. They're a focused company wanting to have the best quality product and let it speak for itself.
I mean, at the end of the day, they're owned by a family. Like, right. It's just like where I work, we're owned by Gale Banks. They're owned by the Amatuzios. And it's the family. It's their name. It's their reputation on the line. Every single bottle that goes out the door, that's theirs. That's an extension of the family, right?
Right. And that kind of brings me to the second thing that we appreciate so much about AMSOIL, and it's the long-term dedication, the ethics, the quality of business. It's definitely a family company, and I really appreciate the business ethics there, and it really should be a model to everybody, their commitment to the dealer network and to all the people who are using AMSOIL.
Yeah.
And that ties back in to quality. You know, the two go hand in hand, but the brand value and the trust in AMSOIL pretty much to me is off the charts.
Yeah. So what's next? Do I have to suit up? What am I doing?
Yeah. So pretty much we're going to get you put up in a fire suit here, helmet on.
I got one. It's old. I got a nice one, but I think I put on some pounds, so it's going to look like, like I'm popping out of my wrapper here. You know what I'm saying? But I do have do we need helmets as well?
Yeah, so we'll be helmets, neck restraints, you know, the full kit, and we'll go out there.
You don't have Parker pumpers in these things, do you?
Oh, yeah. So we'll have pumper, communication. We have a Garmin GPS system in there, which will show us where our chase trucks are and our support crew. So we'll go out and make sure those guys are in place and then burn a hot lap out there.
Damn. All right, I'm in.
All right, let's go do it.
All right, well, this is going to be interesting. We've got comms. We're in the DR, and I can barely look left because I've got a head restraint on here. I can see Brad out of the corner of my eye in the driver's seat, and he's got a big Lowrance screen in front of him, and I have an equally large one in front of me. It looks like GPS because I've got an antenna poking out of the top left corner, and he's got a big Motec display in the center. I don't see a CD player. That's a problem.
Yeah, so no CD player in here, and it's pretty restrictive. A lot of safety around off-road racing for sure, you know, so neck restraints, helmets, window nets, all that business. But really where we're concerned is out the front window.
Do I need to do any navigating? I do have a little experience on the Mint 400. I was a navigator for one lap.
Okay. Well, it certainly is an art to read the GPS. But yeah, we're going to be following the blue line around there. We got a heck of a course set up, some high-speed stuff, some Baja stuff. So yeah, keep an eye on it. Call the turns.
I'm not. I'm going to just go for a ride.
All right, let's get to it.
All right. That exhaust note never gets old.
I love it. It's one of the best things about the truck is the exhaust. Okay, so we're going to get turned. We're going to get turned around here. And right out of the gate, we're going to head down Pony Road.
Wow, the turning radius in this is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's not bad. You know, you want to optimize everything you can for the desert. Okay, we'll get some air.
All right, our lid is down. I'm going to try to avoid the wind by putting the phone. Listen to that exhaust. Oh, that's amazing. Okay, so holy mackerel. 100 miles an hour through the desert. I was not able to record much of it because the wind noise was so insane, but I can't believe this. So the only time I've been that fast off-road, I've never been that fast off-road. I was on the Mint 400 in a 2008 Ram 2500 solid axle.
Okay.
And got the snot beat out of me. It was fun, but I don't think we really ever got over like 60 something. This was doing 100, no problem. On the way back, I asked you, I thought, hey, how are they going to outfit this truck when it goes to consumers? Because you've got a Motec screen in here, all the race equipment in here. And you said, oh no, this is how it's coming from Ford Performance.
It's a pretty serious weapon, I'll tell you that. It's definitely a big boy truck, and you can go plenty fast out there off-road, which is why I love it. I love every day I get to drive this thing. But yeah, what we're sitting in is how Bronco DR comes outfit from Multimatic Ford Performance. You know, Motec, we have a keypad here. I think the VHF radio is an option, but obviously it's something you're going to want in the off-road environment. Intercom, MSAT or SAT phone, GPSs, you know, that's all the equipment we got.
Again, it comes with the cage, everything. The way we're sitting in it right now is how it ships.
Yeah, this is as delivered from Multimatic. So this is a customer race car that we're sitting in right here. So, and I am the lucky guy who gets to drive it. I'm not telling you who the owner is, but
really?
He's letting me drive it.
It's owned by a consumer or a racer.
I'm not letting you know.
No, come on. Seriously, here, let me hit pause. Tell me now.
Hey, all that matters is I'm the one who gets to drive it, all right?
That's true. Okay, when we went through the whoops, how are you judging? I know you've done thousands of miles and it's been your whole career, right? But how are you judging the speed at which you can hit the jumps based on the vehicle? Because, like, again, imagine yourself in a solid axle, not much suspension. The speed at which you're hitting things and the angle at which you're hitting things is totally different than in this Bronco DR.
Yeah, so what you're talking about is the art of desert racing. It's terrain reading. It's judging the capability of your vehicle you're in and looking at the terrain around you. So a lot of that, I'm just wide open. I'm using every bit of available power we have. And honestly, that's where you want to be in a race car, because off-road, because that means everything else is working great. And now your problem is you just need more power. That doesn't often happen. That's where we're at with this truck. Usually, you know, you're limited by suspension. You're limited by brakes. You're limited by sometimes what you can see. It's the size of the bumps. There are bumps down in Baja where the best trophy trucks have to slow down for. But that's the art. What can I make it through? What do I have to check up for? How do I have to balance the vehicle going over it?
Okay, and there's no way anyone could just get in a vehicle, pre-run once, and know it. This is years and years and years, right?
Well, yeah, you know, it takes seat time, but I'm a big advocate that people can start at any level and enjoy it. I'm a big fan of starting at the bottom and work your way up through different classes, different adventures. Some people, you know, they got a pile of money, they go buy a trophy truck, which is the funnest thing in the world to drive, by the way. But you don't get the adventure to get up to that level.
Okay. And where would you recommend one of our listeners start if they've got, let's say, for example, they have a Raptor and it's mainly street, but they're like, you know what? I feel like a poser. I need to take this off-road and adventure. What's the first step for someone that has that phenomenal tool? Or maybe they don't. Maybe they have a Ranger. They have something that's a little less capable, but still built for off-road. Where do they start?
Where you have to start is with a sense of adventure to get out there and try and experience it and see what it's about. Then you'll know what you need next. Maybe it's bigger tires.
No, but I'm saying, do you go get a coach? What if you don't have that network? Yeah. You're in Southern California, right? Now, I know you're from Colorado, but what if you live in Tennessee? You're up in Oregon. Like, where do you even go? Do you go online? Do you join a group? Like, what do you think you would do in that circumstance where you don't have the resources that you or I do?
So it certainly seems to me that off-roaders are a tight-knit group and great people that want to help each other out. Now, how I started 20, 30 years ago is with my family, my brother, my cousin, you know, just like-minded people. We went out and did stuff. I think today, you know, there are clubs, there still are clubs, but it's so easy to get involved with today. But just finding like-minded people online, on Facebook, definitely the Bronco community is super strong. People organizing rides, whether they're official or unofficial, but people want to get together and see what other people are doing with Broncos to test their skill. And really, when you get a group of two or three people together that are kind of like at that same skill level, then you go out and start doing trails and find harder trails. And that has been the funnest part of my whole career driving off-road is that sense of adventure and what's the next hardest thing we can do and get there. And it's exciting for me. My boys are doing that now. One of them's out in Moab. He watered up all his junk in one of the hot tubs, which is a bummer, but you know, he's trying, and that's where you go. You try the next level.
So wait a minute. You know, you're not one of the guys like, oh man, that's going to cost me 30 grand.
Well, so the thing is, it's a $700 truck, so there's only so much to lose. But and yeah, it's a bummer. You don't, you know, you don't want to damage your stuff and have setbacks, but it is part of off-roading, and it takes forbearance, and it's what is the blood of off-road racers and desert people and people out here doing this stuff.
Have you ever done any, like, forest, like Oregon trails, things like that, and how does that differ from the desert here?
You know, I've spent a little bit of time up in Oregon and Washington off-roading, certainly not at the speeds or capacity that we're doing down here. I've traveled across Utah. I've been up to Alaska in the winter, and I really feel that there's a different challenge in any type of different environment. And, you know, what gets showcased so much is the Southern California high-speed desert running down in Baja. And it's awesome. It's everything that it looks. It's that much fun. But it doesn't mean you can't go find something in the Midwest. You know, there's off-road parks, there's mud, there's tracks. We went out to one of the funnest trips I've done. We went to the Outer Banks of South Carolina, and getting to drive on the beaches and the deep sand and experiencing that. I really do believe that there's something for people everywhere.
Something someone said, I'm sure it's a famous quote I'm ripping off, but it's more fun to drive a slow car fast than a fast car slow.
Yeah, right? Of course, you know, and my joy in life is finding the limit of the car I'm in. And to bookend that, I have a 43 Willys Jeep that we've taken on long trips from Colorado to Utah and back. But we did it because you're finding the challenge and the capacity of that vehicle. So that's on one end of it. The Bronco DR we're sitting in right now is the other.
Yeah, so. That's pretty awesome. So what's really neat is that there are quite a few Ford engineers crawling all over us right now. And this is rad. I've never been in the situation before where we've just come back. They've collected a bunch of data, and they're literally unscrewing panels above our heads. This is not just a parts you can just open on hinges. All these have fasteners that lock them in, right?
Yeah, and this is, it feels kind of...
Brad's handing a 10-millimeter wrench to an engineer over here.
It feels kind of at home for me. I've been sitting on the lift in the vehicle, getting tires. They drop it down, and off you go out of here. Because, you know, in whether it's testing or racing, time is very valuable, and there's always the critical path that's taking the longest. So people want to get their job done, get it done efficiently. That's what makes a great team out here. We get a lot of work done in a day.
There's a pair of boots hanging over the windshield right now, because I can only assume he's on the deck on the lid right here.
Well, right now we got the whole roof coming off. We're
there's a 10-millimeter in my shirt now. Here we go.
We're pulling the roof off right now to look at some of the communications equipment.
How many 10 mils have you lost in this garage?
You know, funny story. Early on in the development of the 4600 Broncos, we're running around and something's rattling around in the bell housing, and I told the guys, it's like, it sounds like there's a 10 millimeter socket in the bell housing. Just drive through it, Brad, whatever. Well, guess what?
There was a 10 millimeter socket in the bell housing?
Yeah, there's a 10 millimeter socket in the bell housing. So that cut the day short, but got it taken out of there and continue on.
Okay, so this DR over here, something tells me that it's being prepped for something more than just my chubby fat ass sitting in it going around 20 miles in the Johnson Valley. What's it really doing out here?
Well, it's a big, exciting deal for our team, but we will be heading down to Mexico for the Nora 1000. We're going to race this DR.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I think the truck is going to be really fast down for Nora. It's a six-day rally down there. We've done it before in our 68. We've done it in Badlands Bronco and Wild Track Bronco. Now we're doing it in Bronco DR. So this is the biggest, baddest Bronco that you can get down there for Baja. And that really gets me excited because I think we're going to be plenty fast.
Is there a time to beat? Is there, like, how do you know that you've succeeded with this vehicle when you cross the start or the finish line?
Well, we'll be racing in the heavy metal class, which it's plenty competitive. You know, there are some old Class 8 trucks. There's some new Class 8 trucks. So we definitely have our work cut out for us. But the thing about Nora is there's a little bit of everything out there. Vintage, trophy trucks. Our desire, you know, of course, we want to win the class, but we're looking to push as high up as we can get in the overall. We've done it before, you know, one year before there were a lot of UTVs racing down there. Our Bronco was the fastest four-wheel drive vehicle down there. So we're going back with a four-wheel drive vehicle, and let's see how high we can get up this time.
So it's the heavy metal class you're going to be up against Aussie? And Motley Crue? I don't get it. What? Well,
okay, so you're thinking a little bit different heavy metal, but heavy metal's kind of a catch-all for, you know...
Is it anything over like 5,000 pounds or something, or what?
No, it's like big full-size trucks. Every promoter has a little bit different rule set for it, but really think, you know, a truck with a frame that's outfit for desert racing. That's kind of what Class 8 is. And the heavy metal class in Nor is kind of a catch-all. They're catching a few different classes in there, but you know what? That gives you more competition. That makes it more fun.
Damn, I really thought you were going to tell me you were racing with Ozzy.
Well, it ain't going to happen.
Go faster! I can't do an Ozzy impression, but yeah. All right, Brad, look at the clock. You know what time it is?
Well, what time is it, Jay?
Beer o'clock, my friend.
All right.
Beer o'clock. Come on, get with it.
Okay, it's about Coors 30.
Exactly. The Truck Show podcast is a production of Truck Famous LLC. This podcast was created by Sean Holman and Jay Tillis with production elements by DJ Omar Khan. If you like what you've heard, please open your Apple Podcast or Spotify app and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're a fan, there's no better way to show your support than by patronizing our sponsors.